So good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in this present moment. This is Eric Castillo here with another beautiful episode of the Infinite Talks podcast. And today I have a special, special guest right out of Austin, Mr. George Jorge Rocha. Is it
Yes,
George or
sir.
Jorge?
My parents would be mad if I said George.
The
So it's Jorge.
Jorge Rocha in the
Yes,
building.
sir.
Bro, so I've been, guys, this guy right here, he's like a guy that's into nutrition, health. This guy's a motivator of all walks of life. I don't know if he's originally from Laredo, but he lived in Laredo for a while. And the reason I met George, and I haven't even met George to be honest, but the reason that I know George now, well, Jorge, the reason I know Jorge today is because my brother Rick, he introduced me to him about his what he was doing with nutrition. And that's something that caught my eye. So as soon as he told me about Jorge a couple of years ago, I started following him on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere, because he has a lot of good information. So that's why I wanted to bring him on today, because this guy, a couple of days ago, I saw that he had an interesting post. And I was like, he needs to be on the podcast for people to hear what he's saying and the message that important messages he's sharing with the viewers he has on his social media accounts. But also, I think anybody who comes into contact with Jorge, they're gonna get like a good download of how to, see food and nutrition in a different light. And no pun intended, right? But welcome to the show, Mr. Jorge. How you doing?
First and foremost, thank you so much for having me, bro. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. Like I said, how you mentioned, I started working with Coach Rick, and to me, that was the initial part of the journey that I embarked. So I'll forever be indebted and grateful for Coach Rick and the whole Castillo family. I got the pleasure of like training and working with your dad, Don Salvador, Don Chava. And bro, I have nothing but positive things to say. I can tell without knowing you, like you said, we haven't met, but the time I spent with Coach Rick, I can tell why you guys are such great people. I haven't met your mom as much as I've met your dad, but just a wonderful family. I've been able to check out some of your episodes. So to be on the podcast, it's truly a blessing and a pleasure for me.
Awesome, brother. I really appreciate the kind words. I mean, I've known you as well, but and Ricky, my brother, Coach Rick, shout out to Rush Athletics. He's the one that told me that you were a great guy, good head on your shoulders. And he told me that you were there temporarily with the Rush Athletics and you made a huge impact, but you had to go, like you had to pursue other adventures that you have. And props to you for doing that. And it's awesome to have you on, brother, and having somebody who can give us some insight on your journey. Because can you give us a little bit of feedback as far as your background goals, where you landed into this nutrition vibe and this whole being, I guess, if you want to label it, earth friendly, conscious, all this stuff that you talk about on your post and stuff like that.
Of course. So I grew up playing soccer since I was 4 years old, and that was the dream for the longest time to be a professional soccer player. It wasn't until I got like later on in my career, which was around college, that I started putting the pieces together of like, okay, talent and skill is one thing, but if I want to prolong this, I probably should take care of my nutrition, my sleeping. And that's when I started kind of like getting into that. And around that same time, I mean, due to life and life being how it is, one of my teammates and my best friend for the longest time commits suicide. So he takes his life, and from being like a very privileged kid, not really knowing much about the world other than soccer, kind of opened my eyes to things beyond just. Like I saw myself as a soccer player, and my value was based on my performance. And then I was like, oh crap, there's this whole emotional aspect to being a human and to health. And I'm kind of like shifting. But maybe a year, 2 years later, my grandfather, who's been a huge influence on my life, my maternal grandfather, was already struggling with some health issues. So he was diabetic, he still smoked, he still drank his Coca-Cola, still doing all these things. So the last years of his life, he was in and out of hospitals to a point where he got his leg amputated. And then being in the hospital, he suffered a stroke. So the last years of his life were really, really tragic, really sad. And to the point where he lost his ability to speak, so we wouldn't be able to
Wow.
communicate with him. And that's where another world opened up to me of, damn, like what we do, what we put into our bodies really influences way more than just our performance from an athletic perspective and how we look. And our emotions. So I was like, I literally saw firsthand someone lose cognitive abilities to the point where he couldn't talk, physical abilities to the point where he got his leg amputated, and couldn't walk. And those two instances have shaped my life dramatically. And I made a promise with them. I don't know if they've received a promise in heaven or wherever they are, but I made a promise to myself that, regarding the emotional and just health, I was going to do my part so people don't have to suffer through those same things, whether it's depression, and ultimately like suicide or the things that can lead from depression or other chronic disease like diabetes, like strokes, stuff like that. So I really do believe my life since then has been a mission. My purpose has been to do whatever I can so the people that give importance to that don't have to go through that stuff. Because I do firmly believe that most people either prioritize their health or they prioritize disease. Once it gets too late, people start like, oh man, I should take care of myself. And unfortunately for some people, it's
It's
too
too
little,
late.
too late. So my goal in life is to help people not get to that point, and while they have a chance to prioritize their health so their quality of life is positive. They can enjoy time with their family. They have no limitations. They're not bound by hospitals, by physical limitations. So that's what I do.
Wow, man. And so out of tragedy and like, and seeing like a downfall of somebody's health inspired you to seek this knowledge. So you're like, okay, what do I do now? How do I pivot to actually get this information? So what did you do then? Like, did you go into like TAMU or like a university or to get all this information, or did you get like a license?
So my initiation was very common to what a lot of people do. I got a personal training certification
Okay, great.
from ISA. Without getting ahead of myself, I'll talk through the different parts of my journey. So I started doing that. I've never been the biggest guy. I've never been the strongest guy. So for me, like being in the gym, it was focus first on my performance as an athlete, like what can I do to enhance my athletic performance? And then it shifted to like, okay, movement is really important for health. How can I help people be healthy? And especially in my initial phase, I had a big challenge like communicating or connecting with people, especially being, I don't know, I think at the time I was either 20, 21. Most people that I was connecting with at that age, they don't care down the road, like what their health looks like. In the moment, you want to look good, you want to have muscle, you want to be able to show off, be sleeveless, all that stuff. So my head, like I had, it was kind of like bumping into a wall, because like I feel like what I had to say, people at my age didn't want to hear it. So I was like, okay, I need to find another way to connect with people. So then I got a nutrition certification. With it's the Dolce Nutrition, so it's Mike Dolce, who was one of my first teachers and mentors. He's an MMA coach, so
Wow.
it was really cool to get a nutritional perspective on health and performance and be able to like know the different principles. Because it's one thing to like help an athlete, and what they need to do is different to like someone trying to lose weight or take care of their health. Obviously there's some similarities. So I went to nutrition, and again, it was kind of like a very similar thing. Like, okay, so I learned this. Let me try to apply it with people. And it's like, hey, yes, calories back then, that was my message. Calories are important, macronutrients are important, but we need to make sure your micronutrient intake is also up to par. So let's get vitamins, let's get minerals, let's get fiber. Again, it was like, Nah, bro, I just want to eat protein. Tell me what carbs to eat. So that was very frustrating to me, but it just came with like the age and the territory. And also, to be completely transparent, like the more I delved into health, it was like, damn, there's all these other things that are influencing health. Obviously, don't get me wrong, nutrition is super important, exercise is super important, but there's these things that are extremely influential and I would say more impactful. That people are not talking about, that people don't know about. And it's moving the needle of health more than nutrition and exercise. That doesn't mean that nutrition and exercise should be thrown out the window and ignored, but it's still very common to find diets or exercise programs which are good. But if health is like the most important things, there's a lot of more influential things that we could be doing to move that needle as much as we can.
Oof, man, that's amazing. 'Cause like, I think in one of the posts that I listened to on your Instagram, you were saying that there's a lot of fake health or health fake people or something like that, right? So they might be appear like super muscular and super fit, but there's a lot of decay going inside the body because of the nutrients that or the Not the nutrients, but the stuff they're ingesting. A lot of the stuff it's third party, like fabricated, no realness in it. So I know when you're talking about that, it's kind of like where you're going. Like you can see that clearly, but it's sometimes it's hard to tell the common person about the inner self of what's going on in their metabolism and their actual cells, and you have that knowledge, so you want to share it, but sometimes they don't want to hear it because they just want to have the physique that kind of tells you another story, and you're like, no, bro, there's more going on in there. You can take care of yourself and for longevity, health is wealth. And I think that's where I like what you're saying, because for me, like, I don't have a gym membership. I work out outside, and when I do work out, I don't work out as much, but when I do work out, as I work out outside, I make sure that I'm running or I'm jogging or I'm in my bike. I'll do some pull-ups, get a lot of sun, do some Tai Chi. Make sure I'm grounding sometimes when I'm outside doing, and I see that when you're posting your lives, like, this guy's probably doing the same thing because you're outside without a shirt, getting some vitamin D. You're probably grounding at the same time when you're recording. I don't know if you are. Are you?
100%, yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, this guy's probably in the same frequency as far as health, like, that there's other things that we can do to stay away from certain chemicals, to insert ingredients, and then implying some other natural techniques that you can do that you don't have to go high fancy. You just, if you're knowledgeable, you can apply. So I'm pretty sure that's where you're going, because of the stuff that you share on your post and what you're talking about right now. And so when you go into that journey about nutrition and you start like expanding on that, and then you start applying it with your friends or people that you know, are you getting this backlash like, wait, no, like, I just wanna, like, rip up and stuff like that? And then, so what happens to that, man? Like, what takes you to the next step? Like, okay, what do I do now?
Part of it was backlash, and then the other part of it was I knew, even with clients that we were getting results, that they were happy, they were losing weight, they were fitting into clothes that they hadn't before, stuff like that. I knew that the impact I could have was greater beyond that. So it was like I knew, and it's so funny, it's so like serendipitous in a way, because I remember my time working at Rush. I was doing this thing where I was listening to podcasts, I was reading books, I was reading research, I was doing all these things, and I was starting to hear about sunlight being super important for health and stuff like that. So I'm the type of person, bro, I've been vegan, I've tried carnivore, like things that I stumble
Heard,
upon. I'm
yeah.
like, oh, this is healthy. I need to try for myself. Like, I can't tell someone to do something
If you
if I'm
haven't even
not
tried it, yeah.
exactly 100%. So I started getting into sunlight. And I was posting, I had like a little hashtag, sunshine and steps. So I would go outside and just walk. But I didn't even have a full comprehension of everything behind of like what was happening. So I just knew that there was more that I could be doing. To me, success really comes down in a year, 5 years, 10 years from now. Are my clients able to maintain a healthy lifestyle? Especially in this fitness industry, and you were touching about it upon it in the beginning. there's a lot of fit, unhealthy people. So the exterior looks very fit. And for whatever reason, I think it's very profitable. But people see this image of bodybuilders and think that's healthy. And it couldn't be any further from the truth. And that's no hate to the bodybuilding community.
Correct, correct.
But if we were to say, like, hey, bodybuilding is a sport, these people train and eat a certain way to achieve a goal. It's like if someone tries to eat and train like a linebacker. No, like a linebacker does that for their sport and their sport specifically. It's the same thing with bodybuilding. My issue is when they try to portray bodybuilding as healthy, because it couldn't be further from the truth. And then when these people have to deal with the consequences down the road, those bodybuilding coaches are not going to be there to help those people. But going back to the point, I felt like some resistance from certain people, but even the people that like I achieved some results, there was something inside me that was like, there's more to this. Like I know I can do more than just write you a workout or do more than just write you a nutrition program. So then that just led me to like continue to research and dive deeper into like what influences health. And that's when I came across, and it's relatively recent, it's been a year and a half, where I came across like circadian rhythm, circadian biology, which we can talk a little bit more about. But
Yes.
yeah, I hope that answers your question on like how I came about.
Yes, good. Thank you for the feedback. And then so you get into the circadian rhythm. That's like more like meticulous stuff. Like it's actual natural. It's very natural, but if you don't know about it, you probably will be like blown away with what? Circadian rhythm, what is that? But so you can explain that a little bit, because I mean I know about it, but I don't know like to that detail. So maybe you can give us a little feedback on that.
Perfect. So I'm going to try to make this as simple and as applicable as possible because we can go back and forth with technical terms. At the end of the day, none of that matters. What matters is that people are able to apply it so they can influence their health in a positive way. So I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible.
All right.
Circadian rhythm is basically, we all have an internal clock. Now, this is not like a an like the internal clock that they say to women, like, oh, if you don't get pregnant by a certain age, stuff like that. No. So every cell in our body at any given second is going through 100,000 biochemical reactions. So the cells are constantly working. It's very logical to think that each cell is working all day. So what the circadian rhythm does is that for thousands and thousands of years, we've had this signal of light and dark, day and night. This signal, we have brain cells in the hypothalamus part of the brain, which are called the suprachiasmatic nucleus. So that's like the internal main clock. So that internal main clock signals to the rest of the cells and the rest of the organs and everything that happens when they should be working and functioning and when they should be resting exactly. Because just like us, we need to sleep, we need to rest. Or if not, we burn out. It's the same thing for our cells, for our organs. And there's so many processes going out, going during the day. For example, just our digestive system works way better during the day. And then at nighttime, melatonin is secreted. So we can have autophagy and apoptosis, which is basically the recycling and the regeneration of cells that are no longer working. Because if we look at things like cancer or chronic disease, it's cells no longer functioning. So that autophagy, that apoptosis that happens during the night only happens if we're producing melatonin. How do we produce melatonin? By getting enough sunlight during the day and by blocking out as much artificial light at night as we can. If we're constantly exposed to blue light from our phones, from computers, from TVs, whatever the case may be, blue light secretes cortisol. And cortisol and melatonin have like an antagonist relationship. So if cortisol is elevated, melatonin is going to be low. So if at night our cortisol is high, our melatonin is going to be low. So those cells that are either not functioning properly or are starting to die off are not going to be able to regenerate themselves. And over time, that causes chronic disease like cancer. So,
Well, and Jorge, is that the reason why your house is dim right now? You're like, I ain't messing
yes,
with no blue lights or nothing.
that's the exact reason. And I do want to point out, like, Right now it's 10 p.m., 10:15, I think. Going back to what you were saying about nature, so a lot of people right now, this idea or this thought is very foreign, very different. And I understand our modern lifestyle is very upside down from how we evolved for thousands and thousands of years. And that's not people's fault. That's just like
Societal programming, yeah.
exactly. And I know you can communicate that way better than I can. But at the end of the day, these signals have entrained our body for thousands and thousands of years. So right now we're going through a health epidemic, and we see that through depression, we see that through anxiety, we see that through cancer rates, we see that through cardiovascular rates, we see that
Right.
through Alzheimer, we see that through dementia. And when we look at our environment, and how foreign it is, it is only logical that if we keep consuming all this artificial light, all this artificial ingredient, our body eventually gives up and is like, bro, I can't handle all these artificial things that you're giving. Even artificial people, like fake people or fake media, it has a toll on your health. So that super charismatic that we were talking about, it's the biggest signal is light. So light is what like tells everything, like, hey, this is where we're at in the world, this is what season it is, it's daytime, so let's get to work, we start producing hormones, let's get to it. And then when the sun sets, it should be darkness, but obviously that's not the case anymore because we can just switch a flip and we have all this LED lighting, we have our phones, we have computers, and that's constantly sending the signal to our brain that it's daytime. So our brain is constantly reducing cortisol, it's like on alert, it's active, and we never get to recuperate, to regenerate, and that's when a lot of the disease happens.
It creeps up on you because especially if you're not ever giving it a break. And I started reading books by Dr. Mike Hyman. I don't know if you've read any of his books, right? The 10-Day Detox. I was blown away because he mentions a lot of that stuff. And then I also started listening to the Dave Asprey podcast. I don't know if you heard of him, Dave Asprey, right? You know, talks about blue light and all that stuff, and just you know, how to get you to the epitome of your health. So when I started like going into these dives, bro, like everything you're saying makes sense to me because I was like, bro, I started applying a lot of that stuff and I saw immediate changes just by the changing the way I eat, the way obviously it's a battle, right? Because it's also balanced because you want to eat the cultural food that we love to eat, and sometimes you're having a dinner, sometimes you're out on the road, and obviously you're probably gonna go for the worst kind of food, and it does happen, but now I'm more conscious of it. But well, before it was like it was out the window, like lo que venía, lo que venga, sabes que unos, lo que sea, you know, fried food, the worst of all, like fried food, with all the chemicals that it has, you know, and then ingredients, and then damn, like for a while, dude, I was pretty 100% with all that stuff, you know, and everybody would eat around me. I'm pretty sure you get the same thing. They're like, ching, I don't want to eat around Eric because damn, he's gonna fucking tell me what the hell that's wrong for. I would get that a lot, like ching, I don't want to eat in front of Eric. I'm pretty sure you get that a lot too, you know, and
100%.
Frente a Jorge, no vamos a comer ni madres.
Yeah, no, Jorge no le inviten porque ese güey no come nada, which couldn't be further from the truth. And just to touch on that real quick, my mother and I, and actually this started with Coach Rick, he was our very first client. My mother
Crazy.
and I have a meal prep business called Meals with Purpose. We
All for
serve, we serve people in Laredo, in McAllen, and in Austin. And I wholeheartedly believe that there's no such thing as junk food. There's just junk ways to prepare food. Even the cultural food that we like, if we talk about pozole, if we talk about menudo, if we
100%.
talk about lengua, like all the things, bro, I love. And if they're prepared in the way that they were like a long time ago, we have no problem. We're getting minerals, we're getting protein, we're getting all these nutrients.
The good
But
fats and all that. Yeah.
nowadays, the cheaper options are vegetable oils, which are highly inflammatory.
Oof.
They oxidize our cells, and it's cheaper to use additives, it's cheaper to use preservatives. So that's one thing I will never allow, and I'm not saying because of you, but I hear this from other people. I will never allow people to put the blame of what cheaper like big businesses is doing to our food to put that blame on our culture. It's not our culture. Our culture gives us like tasty, delicious, nutrient-filled food. These big corporates, these big corporates that are feeding us vegetable oils, seed oils, chemicals, stuff like that, they're the ones messing up our health. Like our culture is
it's
rich
not the one. Yeah.
In flavor and nutrients. It's just a more of a challenge. So that's what we do. We try to stick to our roots, to our core, and make those dishes that we grew up eating, pozole, picadillo,
carnitas,
carnitas, like all those things without frying them in vegetable oil. Like we can use tallow, which is a much healthier, better option. So where there's a will, there's a way. I get it. Right now it's inconvenient. It's a challenge. But yeah, our purpose is to provide healthier options without sacrificing taste, without sacrificing the things that we grow
the culture.
Yeah. Exactly.
Keeping everything thorough and then at the same time keeping it healthy. That's amazing. So that's a business that your parents and yourself have. It's called Meals with Purpose.
Yeah, that's my mom and myself's business. My mom is the one carrying. She like does the cooking. It's recipes that we've had for years and years and passed from generation to generation. I just came along and tweaked some things like, hey, instead of using this, let's use this. So like we do a lot of grass-fed options, pasture-raised, wild-caught fish.
Wow.
We do organic, but at the same time, we try to be as accessible as possible. So we came up with a new menu where it's like inorganic, but we're still not using any vegetable oils, no additives, no chemicals, no preservatives. Yeah, I don't want to make this a commercial, but I just wanted
do
to
it,
bring
bro.
that up.
No, that's I'm all into it, man.
But
go
this,
ahead.
sorry, this started because I was helping Coach Rick with his nutrition. And Coach Rick, I've had a lot of clients. Coach Rick is probably the only one that can come to me and tell me, hey, I'm too busy. Coach Rick is a teacher. He's the owner and coaches at Rush. And most importantly, he's a great father. So when we try to like get things, it was like, bro, I don't have time to cook. I'm here, I'm there. I was like, all right, let's provide him with options that he doesn't have to cook. Like it's ready to go. So that's how it started. And that's how it came about.
Wow. Hey, shout out to Coach Rick, my brother.
Coach Rick's a man. Coach Rick is a man.
Bruh, for real. And so that's amazing. So that like when you fry carnitas, por ejemplo, right? You don't use lard then. You don't use vegetable oil.
So for example, like carnitas, that's
yeah,
not something we prepared as of yet, just because we use more pans and stuff like that.
Correct.
But
Correct.
I would have no problem frying food in tallow.
What's tallow?
It's basically like beef rendered fat.
Oof. Okay, I dig that. Yeah, as
yeah.
long as it's not like some, yeah. But I dig that. I dig that because it comes from an animal, so it probably has a good
Exactly.
flavor. It has a good flavor. It puts good fat.
It's a great flavor, and like just by making a simple swap of using beef tallow compared to like canola oil, it's a
Dude.
world of difference.
When I started reading into the unhealthy fats, I was like surprised, man, especially for males as well, because testosterone, like soybean and anything like that, it'll kill your testosterone. And when I started reading on that, I was like, bro, like no wonder like this society's all messed up. Like we're eating all these crazy foods that are messing with our mojo, man. Like your testosterone's getting messed with, your cells are oxidizing, like
They
oxidizing
basically rust.
faster, resting. They're dying faster. The cells are dying faster. I'm all about the cells, man. I was growing up, I was a science geek, biology geek. So when I was reading on that, I was like, oh shit! Like on a cellular level, we're killing ourselves faster. So, so everything you're saying makes so much sense to me, And I want the listeners to have like some inspiration to dig a little bit deeper about what they're actually doing on a daily basis that they can, you don't have to change on a dime, but you can make little subtle changes little by little. And I think that's what I've been doing that's worked out for me. Like I haven't, just 180 and everything. I've cut down on sugar, on sugar a lot. I think that's the one that I cut down on the most, like sugar, bro. Like I'm already used to drinking my coffee dark and black, nothing. Así negro nomás. Stay away from the high sugary drinks as much as possible. Drink a lot of fluids, a lot of water. But the sugar, man, that's one thing that I slowly started cutting down. And then after that, ingesting like more natural stuff, get into matcha. Learning how to use,
Yeah.
you know, matcha. And dude, that was a game changer. Like matcha, like I started like using that and on a daily, almost starting with coffee, I would start off with matcha. So I mean, I don't do it as much, but there's something that I've implemented into my natural routines that becomes natural and is a habit. The more you do it, the more it becomes part of your routine, and then you don't have to be like, oh, I gotta change my diet, because a diet is actually the way we eat. It's not like, oh, let me get a specific diet plan. You know, it's just how do you want to eat? And the more knowledgeable you are about what you're ingesting, the more healthy you can be, or the more unhealthy you can be, you know. So
100%. Most people aren't fully aware of what they're ingesting. So I've been very vocal about this. There's different research pointing, and it's a range of 96, 97, but these conventional diets have a failure rate of 97% after like 2, 3 years. That is because of different reasons. But one of the things that I've seen in my experience is you can do a temporary diet and set your mind to it. But one, if you're not getting nutrients, like you're just fighting against your own physiology. But two, and most importantly, like you were talking about corn and soybean, going beyond the nutrition, like ideally, we should be getting our food from the earth, whether that's animals that are roaming around or from the
plants.
soil providing food. Unfortunately, in the United States, most of the land that is suitable for crops and harvest is being monocropped for wheat, corn, and soy. Why? Because it's so profitable. It's cheap to make, and corn is used for everything from ethanol to corn syrup, which is just pure sugar, and it's like sweetened in all our candy, all our stuff, and to feed our animals, which is a whole another topic of like how these animals are fed things that aren't natural for them. So then we're eating sick animals, and then
We
it's a
become sick.
whole,
It's
yeah,
a sick cycle.
100%. But these things like maltodextrin, sucralose, like these artificial sweeteners that are like in 95% of our foods are designed to be addictive. They're
Addictive, huh?
chemicals that are designed in lab for you to overconsume. So I highly recommend people, if they're like eating food that comes in a bag or in a box, for them to read the label, and if they see all these ingredients that they can't even pronounce or recognize, just
Okay.
know that that's influencing your food choices and your brain. Sometimes people get really down on themselves, like, no, it's because I can't stick to a diet. It's like, no, you're just consuming things that are meant to keep you addicted and overconsuming these processed foods. So it's a challenge, but I do feel with patience and just making subtle changes, small changes, we can definitely reverse the what's been normalized nowadays.
Bro, do you fast a lot?
So fasting is an interesting topic for me. I love what fasting can do, specifically for autophagy, the recycling of cells. I fast because I eat an early dinner, and it goes back time to like the circadian rhythm. I like to have my breakfast 30 to 60 minutes upon waking. I wake up with the sunrise every day. So like it sounds super hippie, but I try
I
to
love it.
be
I love it. I love
as connected to nature as possible, given in a very modern context. You know, I'm not out there
Correct.
in the woods, or like I still like having my technology, I still like
For
having a
real, for
house,
real, yeah.
but I do wake up with the sunrise, and 30 to 60 minutes, I give my body nutrients to let it know that, like, hey, we have nutrients and we have energy, so you can focus on like well-being rather than surviving. So I like to have dinner as the sun is setting or a little bit before the sun is setting.
Love
So
that.
if, right now the sun is setting like around 6:20, so I'm probably gonna have my dinner at 5, and I'm not gonna have breakfast till like right now, what is it, like
Seven or
7:15,
yeah,
7:30. So that's like a 14-hour fast. So
that's a pretty good
naturally,
time.
yeah, naturally, I'm fasting not because I'm like, oh, I have to fast, but
Yeah.
just by following the natural cycles, like I'm fasting in a way.
Now, I started doing that because of Dr. Mark Harmon. Like I would read his stuff and I was like, yeah, let me try it one day, you know. And I would like do 24 hours. I was like, wow, that feels incredible, because like your body's like, bro, where's the corn? Hey, junta la comida, you know, where's the food? And you're like, hey, you smell that? Hey, that smells good. it's a challenge, bro. Like those 24 hours. And then every Monday I would do it for like, and back in 2019, I was like, every Monday I'm not gonna eat for 24 hours. And it became a habit, you know, after a while. But I mean, obviously I've gone away from that, but it helped a lot during that first year that I would do it every Monday. And then my first meal and the next day was like as soon as the sunrise. Very similar to you, but I wasn't doing anything consciously. It was just like, I'm gonna eat tomorrow. Like my breakfast is gonna be something lean. And you know, you get used to it. But like, even I think I love that you're saying that, like, I've heard it before. I don't know when, but if somebody said, get up when the sun goes up, and then you're adding the thing. Oh, I heard it from you. Like, oh, was to add the meal right afterwards so you can have, instead of living in survival, you're living for what you said, what was the word?
Abundance health.
Abundance, health, right? And then as soon as the sun starts going down, and thank you for making time for me, man, because you're probably like, bro, this is way past my
No, it's
bedtime.
all good, bro. It,
Okay.
first of all, for you, I wouldn't say no. And second of all, this is my life's work. So one night isn't going to do anything to me.
Correct. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it because I'm thinking doing the mathematics, like almost the sun is going down. I'm gonna have my meal like around 5. You said 5:30, and then you start wrapping up your day in probably like 8, 9, and boom, you're out, right?
Yeah,
Listen to this.
so this year specifically, or 2023, was like an experiment for me where I tried to tie it to like the season. So for example, winter, bro, I was going to bed like at 6, 6:30. Granted, I like arrange everything with my clients to get everything done earlier in the day, and like obviously that's not feasible for a lot of people, and I get that. Like I said, I experiment so I can see like how to shortcut things, how to make things work for all types of people, depending on their schedule and their responsibilities. So yeah, right now, like I'm going to sleep a little bit later. Like I'm in bed by 8. One thing that I do want to say on fasting, if I may, if we have time right here, many people make the mistake of fasting during the morning, and they'll either have like a coffee or they'll work out in a fasted state. And not that this is wrong, but in a world where people are always on the go, high stress, high cortisol, skipping breakfast can maintain cortisol levels elevated. And then
Higher.
if you like drink a coffee, which is a stimulant, that cortisol is going to go higher. If you're working out, that cortisol is going to go higher.
So no
And when
wonder I can't get rid of that belly fat.
exactly, bro. So not only do we store fat, but we also break down muscle tissue because cortisol is like catabolic. It breaks down muscle tissue, among
Dude.
other negative consequences. So I would highly suggest that if people want to fast, for them to do it in the evening rather than the morning.
Oh man, game changer. Guys, you heard it here first. I'm gonna change my fasting ways. I'm not gonna drink coffee. Higher
If
cortisol, dude. I didn't know about that. I forgot about that one.
you do drink coffee, I love coffee. I suggest not to do it in a like empty stomach. Have some food and make sure you drink plenty of water before you get that caffeine in. Also, it's very smart to have a caffeine like limit or curfew, because caffeine has a half-life of 6 to 8 hours. So let's say you drink 500 milligrams of caffeine, that caffeine is going to last in your blood system 6 to 8 hours. So
The whole day.
if we're doing that at 2 p.m., 8 hours later at 10 p.m., you're going to
Ten.
have half of that. Like you have 25, 200, oh, sorry, 250 milligrams running through your system, which is going to like elevate your cortisol. So you're going to forget about getting quality sleep. So if you
Jorge,
want
Jorge,
caffeine, sorry, my bad.
pause. We're gonna go part two. You need to wrap it up because it's
Okay,
gonna.
for sure. My bad, bro.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm just letting you know because it's gonna end like in any minute now. So any second
Cool.
now. So.